Hey, this is James from Survival Punk.
And this is Mike.
We're here to bring you the amazing episode 3 of the Survival Punk podcast.
On today's episode, we're going to be covering quite a few things. We're covering the food prep contest that's been going on, along with the snow dome. We're going to hear about James's adventures with an entitled woman. We're going to hear some words from our sponsors, a little talk about tiny houses. We're going to talk about our survival tip for the week about heating small spaces, cheat days, what's coming up on Nutrition Corner, and James, take it away.
All right. So, Mike, how have you been this week? Anything happen?
This week has kind of been torturous, to be honest with you. It's been a very, very busy week for me. My daughter turned 10. This past Thursday.
Congrats.
Yeah, kind of a milestone. Kind of left me really depressed, though. I'm getting old, dude.
You are getting old.
Yeah, my daughter just hit double digits, and she's getting so damn big. It's just crazy.
You're what, 400 now?
Yes, being the only person that any of us know that's actually older than his own father. it's been a long time coming. It really has, but... That's why I say you should never have kids. It's just too heartbreaking.
Yeah, I don't plan on any time soon.
Had a little outing at Chuck E. Cheese today. God, it's been forever since I've been to a Chuck E. Cheese.
Did you play in the ball pit?
They didn't have a ball pit, come to think of it.
How can you have a Chuck E. Cheese without a ball pit?
They didn't have a ball pit. They had one of those things that you climb up in and climb around. It's got a slide, but no ball pit. I guess too many kids pee in those things.
Gross.
We always hear about kids peeing in the ball pit, and then they got to, you know, get all the kids out and hose down the balls and dry them out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a big hassle, I guess. Big, big flipping hassle.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, before we jump into today's topics, I want to give a shout-out to my friend Cheryl from Crooked Tree Farm.
Hi, Cheryl of Crooked Tree.
Our one of our six listeners that we have. She correctly pointed out on the Facebook page the name of the book we were looking for in last week's podcast was Harrison Bergeron from Kurt Vonnegut. So, thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you so much. We were kind of left a little bit tortured after that.
And finally, after hours of torturous, mind-numbing work and wanting to rip my own head off, Survival Punk should be on iTunes sometime this week, as long as the Nazis at Apple approve the podcast. Also, it should be on Stitcher for you Stitcher people. But sometime, as soon as I get approved for both of them, you'll be able to find Survival Punk Podcast on both of those locations.
Stay tuned to survivalpunk.com for further updates.
Alrighty. Let's sponsor of the day number one will be JM Bullion.
JM Bullion. Tell us about them, James.
They are some of the best prices you can get online for gold and silver coins. They are family owned and operated. Real good guys, good pricing. And make sure you do make silver and gold an important part of your investment strategies.
Now, where would I find JM Bullion, James?
You can find them at jmbullion.com or head to survivalpunk.com and click their banner on the right-hand margin.
Okay. Now you wanted to talk to us today. Our first news story of the day is about a food preppers contest, food preparation contest, something like that. Give me some details on that, mi amigo.
All righty. Let me get this pulled up real quick. All right, I've got a contest here that looks to be run by the Ready.gov folks.
Now, who are they?
They're a government organization that sort of preach preparedness. They preach that you have a 72-hour bag. They had a really good campaign going on for a while about being prepared for zombies, and they're giving out free posters. And I think they gave out like a 250,000 5 hours or something ridiculous.
That sounds like a pretty smart organization. At least they have a sense of humor.
Yeah. They released like, I think like a Twitter campaign on like the zombies are coming and like fake tweets from the CDC, .gov that zombies are there. And, so probably one of the branches of government that's not completely retarded and I do not hate so much.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see what they're offering here. The challenge.
Create a recipe that uses only non-perishable pantry items, including, but not restricted to, seasonings, condiments, sweeteners, and drinking water. Kind of funky. Two, recipes may come from any type of cuisine, American, Latin, Vietnamese, Chinese, Arabic, Middle Eastern, etc. Three, recipe may be for breakfast, lunch, dinner, or snack item.
Now, does it say anything about these being edible items?
Get creative with the ingredients. Create a hot or cold dish that you'd eat if asked to shelter in place. So it must be something that you would be willing to eat. If you want to put ketchup on cardboard, then I guess that's up to you, but I'm not eating ketchup cardboard.
Well, they did say non-perishable, so you can't really use the ketchup.
Right. Prizes for this are top five entrants will receive a $20 gift card. Next five entrants will receive an emergency preparedness kit.
Ooh.
The top 50 recipe contributors will receive a printed copy of the cookbook.
Now, does it say what comes in that preparedness kit? Or does it just say preparedness kit?
I would have to jump around, but I'm
sure
it's garbage.
You can never have too much garbage in the event of an emergency, dude.
Oh, you can.
Just remember that.
I might actually enter this contest.
Now, if our listeners would like to find out more about this contest, where can they find that at? Or where did you find it at?
I'm reading it off of yourhoustonnews.com/a whole bunch of stuff. But if you go to ready.gov, I'm sure there is...
Is that dog wearing Kevlar?
It is wearing a hoodie of some sort.
Oh.
Well, in any case, links will be in the show notes on how to get to this contest. I'll make sure I include them.
Awesome. Now, it's my understanding you have some news about the Snow Dome, whatever that might mean. As a person who is not up on his current events, tell me, as you would tell them, what is the Snow Dome exactly?
Snow Dome is probably a made-up term. It started, I think it was here on our local news channel 5 here in the Nashville, Middle Tennessee area. By I think newscaster Leland Statham. But Snow Dome, they showed a picture from basically everything above Alabama on the United States, all the way from coast to coast, covered under a sheet of snow.
Except apparently Middle Tennessee.
Except for Nashville and like parts outside of it. Yeah, Middle Tennessee is the only beacon of non-snow on the entire map.
Oh, that's lovely.
Which is really funky. Like, I believe they went into a lot of detail on one of the newscasts that I didn't bother to watch. I just think it's interesting because I've not seen anything but snow flurries here. Nothing stuck this whole year.
No. We had, like, out here, we had, like, one day that had, like, an inch of snow came down overnight. By noon, gone. It didn't look like anything had even happened. See, and I have a love-hate relationship with snowfall. I've got to drive a long way to work. So the fact that it's not icing up real bad, that's good for me. But I also have two kids, two young children, that would love to make themselves a snowman, have a snowball fight, make some snow angels, anything. Just get out there in the snow and play around.
Yeah.
And the last few years, they keep getting screwed on that. And this year, it just seems like God's sense of humor was kicked into frickin' overdrive.
Yeah, hence Snow Dome.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally don't like the snow, and if we start getting snow consistently...
Yeah, you've never liked the cold.
I will move further south.
See, that all... that's the thing. Further south of here got snow, and a lot more snow than we did. So, your
Florida
argument
has snow.
Your argument is moot, old friend.
I'm thinking Ecuador, Costa Rica.
Oh,
they do not get any snow.
Why don't you move to the Philippines? I hear they never get snow.
Too far.
Not for my father.
Yeah.
But enough about that. Now, our good host, James, here, apparently had a run-in with a woman that he considers to be entitled in some manner. Would you mind enlightening us, me and our half-dozen listeners, about this?
So, I work retail, and...
That's one way of putting it.
We have a system where you can order things online and come pick up them in the store, which I mostly find to be annoying because it takes about twice as long to get your item and five times more hassle
to get it than just coming in and buying it. So just remember that. Okay, so she comes in and she ordered her item online, and one of the payment options for paying for it online was to use PayPal. Well, PayPal instantly took her money and it placed an account hold on her transaction. Mm-hmm. So the money was gone from her bank account, but PayPal reserves up to about 48 hours before it actually completes the transactions to make sure that there are actually funds legitimately that they took from the account.
Ah, so in other words, it took her money, but then wouldn't let the purchase go through for 2 days.
Right. And she came there, like, right after she ordered. Like, she was across the street at another place when she ordered this on her cell phone.
And then walked, like,
and then drove across the street to come pick up her item.
Well, don't you know everything on the internet's supposed to be instant?
Close to the instant, yeah. So, PayPal took the money, but didn't pay us. The order showed in the system as not ready yet. There's no way for us to do anything more. As soon as we try to look at her order in the system, it just says order not ready and kicks you back out. I can't issue a refund because we don't have money. We haven't been paid by her to refund the money yet.
Right.
And we can't give her her item
because
she hasn't paid for it yet. I mean, to us, it would be like if you gave it to somebody and said, hey, hold this, and then go pay James for this item later on. Well, I can't give you your item because I don't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't paid me for your item. You don't own it. And she got fed up trying to deal with my guy that was working back there. So he called me back there, being a manager, to talk to her. And I looked at it and I explained it the same thing. You know, like, I told her that we haven't been paid. She's like, yes, you have. You stole my damn money.
Oh, my God. You stole the money now.
We stole the money and refused to give her item that she didn't pay for or refund her money that we don't have in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I could do would give her the number to the online component to my store to talk to them, because she ordered it through them, not through us, that we had like 100 of in stock. She could have just walked across the street.
Oh, boy.
And then bought one and been done. Instead of like...
So she could have walked across the street, bought the item, picked it up off the shelf, taken it to a register and got it without having to go through PayPal.
And she was freaking out because her money was missing, and it was an iPad. It was like $200 or $300 she was missing. And she was like, she had to have it right then. She couldn't wait. She either had to have her item or she wanted her money back right then. And the refund process, because it hasn't gone through yet, would also take several days.
Yeah, at first you actually have to get the funds. Then you have to refund the funds, which then means it has to go backwards through the system.
Right. So then she just started to berate me, berate the system, berate the lady on the phone that I told her to call. And just go on and on and on. And she was like crying and shaking and cussing in front of her husband that looked mortified that his wife was batshit crazy. And her poor daughter that had to listen to her mom be crazy. And I'm just crazy and cuss and demanding that she get what she wanted right then, right there at that time. Which my point was, just wait a couple hours or a day until the money clears and then you get your item. And she was like, but no, you stole my money. We didn't steal your money. That money would have been gone anyway. You're just going to have to wait. But she felt she was entitled to have her thing right then, right there at that time, when she chose to use PayPal.
Well, you know, her choice in PayPal might have had something to do. Did you hear about that big Target scandal that happened over the holidays?
Yeah, with the credit card. Yeah,
she probably didn't want to use a credit card online, but yeah, still, that didn't stop her. I mean, she was right across the street. She could have just walked over there and got her damn iPad.
Right. Which would have been preferable.
You gotta understand, people out there, please understand how PayPal works. It's got, in you know, security is not free. And in order to make a secure transaction, you've got to deal with what they have to deal with first.
Yeah. And insulting the people that are trying to help you and make assumptions on their intelligence level that I must not have gone to college, which I did. I didn't finish, but I went.
Yeah, but that's apples and oranges, man.
Yeah, yeah, and just like, she's just beyond crazy. That's what it is. And I'm done.
Well, you know what? Let's move on from this entitled old bag to some survival gear bags, James.
All right. Up next is sponsor of the day number two, Kelly Jondeau. Kelly is...
Hi, Kelly.
Basically my oldest sponsor. He reached out to me when I had, about three people on the website and asked if I wanted to be part of his affiliate program.
And you were two of them.
Yeah. I don't do a lot of affiliate programs, and I don't generate much of any income from that, but I keep Kelly on after I've turned down several other affiliate positions just because of the relationship between me and Kelly. I like him. I like what he does. So if you need anything survival gear bag-wise, prepper items, he sells the Olight flashlight that I everyday carry and I highly recommend. Stop by survivalgearbags.com.
Alrighty then. Now our topic of the day. James, you wanted to discuss this new phenomenon, well, maybe not so new, about these tiny houses. And I know this is something I've been interested in, but I know you're in love with the idea. So why don't you elaborate for us?
All right. Yeah, I've been super interested in the tiny house movement for a while now. And even so far as having basically lived in tiny houses that we'll get to, we'll talk about today. And I've spent the past couple weeks, you know, before I go to work, I'll watch YouTube videos on tiny house builders.
Now, please, I mean, for the people out there that have no idea what you're talking about, of course, people listening to your podcast probably would, but let's pretend they don't. What exactly is a tiny house?
Tiny houses are usually 100, 200 square feet, including a sleeping loft of living space, normally built on travel trailers. Hmm. Because the interesting thing is, travel trailers, being on wheels, gets you around all the building codes.
Really?
Like, unlike building a shed or a house of any kind, you have to get permits and codes for. But when you transition to building that on a travel trailer, a wheeled travel trailer,
mm-hmm.
it becomes... It gets around all of that. You can hobby build a tiny house without any building codes, without any government interference, something I really like, and be able to build your home tiny and affordable and live mortgage-free.
You know, now I think I've seen stuff like that. Out at Lowe's, they usually have sheds and stuff set up in the parking lot, and I've seen actually some of those that almost look home-like, basically. They don't even have the second story on them.
Right. I mean, that's another thing. Lowe's and I think it's like the Amish shed builder guys.
Mm-hmm.
They build little sheds, barns, and stuff in house stylings for ridiculously cheap.
Now, basically, it sounds like the premise of tiny houses is necessity living as opposed to luxurious living.
Well, I mean, not so much. Like, houses now have more than doubled in size. Like, in the 1950s, the average home was a couple hundred square feet, 400, I think, maybe at the most.
Oh, so this is kind of like...
And then now they're like 2,000 square feet.
Yeah. I mean, with all the modern conveniences, people want more room. People want more room for their stuff.
Right, I mean, and that's another problem, that people...
Have too much stuff?
The consumerism, just like the filling the holes in your life with buying more and more stuff that you don't need over quality interactions with your friends, family, quality investments in things instead of like filling your home with lots of Chinese plastic junk that breaks that you replace every single year and you keep buying more and more of.
Check it out on IKEA.com.
Actually, IKEA has a lot of things good for tiny house people.
Oh, really?
Yes. A lot of like custom-built cabinetry and stuff.
Please, my sincerest apologies go out to IKEA.com.
And I mean, the other part is, in a bigger home, your utilities go up dramatically because your central air and heating...
You got to heat a larger area. Place. I mean, a larger area is going to be that much harder to heat. Your heater has to work that much further.
Right. And it's just a lot of rooms. Like, everyone just, they'll have spare rooms filled with junk they don't need. And they'll have guest rooms for people that come once a year. And I just don't build another tiny house for a guest.
Now, you actually have some experience living in a pseudo-tiny house, so to speak.
Very tiny. I guess 100 square feet, or, what was it?
Well, maybe about 200 square feet.
Because there's two of them.
Technically, that was two buildings, though.
Right. So, several years ago, after a little homeless stint, I moved out here to Mike's place in the country, and I spent about $400 buying two shed kits from Lowe's.
They were just sheds. They were like the cheapest shed kits they had.
Right. And me and Mike and a couple of his wife's family members, we spent a couple
of
days.
And my wife.
And his wife, who's probably way handier than Mike is.
Oh, definitely.
We put together these two little sheds, 10 by 10s, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I lost a fingernail building those, actually.
Yeah, so we built that.
I had the hammer hit the wrong nail. You know, it happens to everybody, that old chestnut.
Yeah. I fit most all my possessions in one, and the other one I put, like, my couch and just some quickly, shoddily built together bookshelves.
Yeah, and in honor of his favorite comic book character of all time, Dr. Doom, he actually nicknamed the place the Latverian Embassy.
Yeah, and then the library or the West Wing or something. So just funny names, but I was pretty comfortable. It wasn't hard to heat my living unit. I had a tiny heater in it, and it stayed warm enough under the blankets.
I'll tell you one thing. Living in an area that small, it does encourage you to get out of the house more often, though.
Yeah, I mean, I was comfortable in there reading, threw the doors open and let some sunlight in, and it was small and cozy, and it was enjoyable.
You even had a roommate in there for a while, didn't you?
But yeah, I like the tiny house.
Mm-hmm.
I like small spaces.
Well, it does sound like a great way to get around those stupid zoning laws and all that sort of thing.
It's a way to get away from the zoning laws, the building codes.
And, I mean, it really makes you prioritize what you need in your life.
Exactly.
I mean, when you don't have room for all the other crap, I mean, yeah, it just basically streamlines you. But I noticed you were talking about the heating, which kind of brings us on to our survival tip of the week. Heating small spaces.
Right. I mean, the less space you have, the easier it is to heat. When you build a shelter in the wild, a lean-to, you build it small so that it's trapping your body heat and reflecting it back. You basically want, on a lean-to, to crawl under it as much as possible.
Right. Build the fire on the open side. That way it kind of bounces off the back.
Right.
But you're getting it from two different angles.
Exactly.
Now, I know you've got some experience with heating small spaces. I mean, even heating small parts of large spaces. Either last year or the year before, you got into kind of an experimental phase in your own life with getting your electric bill down astronomically. I mean, just dropping it down to bare bones minimum. And you did away with, like, the whole heating the whole room thing. You got yourself an electric blanket and basically plugged it in wherever you needed it and just heated you.
Exactly.
Now, what did that actually do to your heating bill?
I mean, still at this point, I've gone, this will be the third winter, and this is record winter. The third winter in a row where I've not used any central heating in the apartment.
That's just kind of amazing.
When I pushed it as hard as I could, being a complete energy Nazi, the lowest I got my electric bill was $10.
$10 for 1 month of electricity?
during the middle of winter, like
now,
January,
February. What did you do to get it that low?
Not using central air.
Right.
There's no central air. I would...
You shave in that area, dude?
I turned off the water heater because I work long hours at work. There's no point in heating up the hot water while I'm away at work.
Right, yeah, I mean, there's nobody's using it.
Right, so I would turn it on 1 hour before I needed to shower and then turn it back off.
Makes sense.
Get
you enough hot water for what you're going to do.
I use a trick of my... Now, windows in my apartment are south-facing, so they get hit with direct sunlight most of the day.
I never realized that.
I covered it with black curtains and then a strip of black plastic that left about, we'll say, 4 inches above the window and 4 inches below the window.
So that's going to suck all that extra heat in.
it superheats the area between the window and the plastic.
Kind of like insulation.
It does a convection thing where it will suck in the cold air at the bottom of the strip of plastic and sort of flow it out at the top. So, I'd do that, and I would get it. It would still be, and you're not gonna walk around in shorts in my apartment in the winter, because the lowest it gets is about 55.
I mean, you're only heating you anyway.
Right. So that keeps it from freezing in the apartment. And I'll wear like a long sleeve shirt, and I'll wear pants.
Now this winter is actually kind of different because you actually do have a roommate this winter. How's Bjorn taking it?
Bjorn is my Siamese cat that I have now.
He's a big sweetie.
It hasn't been cold, really. He has, there's blankets that he can sleep on.
I mean, he's a fluffy kitty anyway.
Yeah, so. he's got lots of fluff and padding, so.
Do you often wake up with him on your chest in a warm spot?
No, the door is shut.
Aw.
But he meows.
Bad daddy, you need to let that kitty in and share your heating blanket.
Yeah. All right, so that's it. I use the electric sleeping blanket to sleep with, and that's it because I like to sleep in the cold anyway.
All righty then.
So this year the electric bill, I've not been a complete Nazi. I leave the electric water on. I just haven't felt like turning it off. And I will not sit on a cold toilet. So I have a space heater in the bathroom.
Your fanny's too good for a cold toilet seat, is it?
I'm not a fan of the
We're three episodes cold. In, you're already turning into a prima donna.
No.
So, all right.
That's it. Small spaces and heat yourself. That's the key.
Okay. All righty then. All right. Well, after my co-host hacks that up, we're going to move right into our Nutrition Corner segment. This week we want to talk about a subject that is very near and dear to us, and a subject that my comrade here was actually experiencing today and still is, judging by the pile of junk food on my bed. Today we're going to talk about cheat day. Now, James, how's your cheat day been going for you?
Pretty darn good.
For those out there not in the know, what is a cheat day exactly?
Cheat day, I follow a pretty strict paleo and low-carb diet, and I do this, I give myself one cheat day a month. So all throughout the month, I'll think about any sort of junk food, bad food that I want to eat.
And then you log it.
And I just sort of keep a mental note of it, or even sometimes I'll write it down to eat it. Instead of like breaking the diet and eating junk food all the time, I know that on cheat day, I'll be able to have whatever I want and it not really affect my performance and weight loss goals.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, actually help out some of those goals in weight loss. And I've done this for the past 5 months, and for probably 3 of those months, I was losing 20 pounds a month and having huge, huge cheat days. Many, many thousands of calories, probably. Enough to kill a rhino. today, I met Mike and his family at a pizza buffet. I ate a ton of pizza.
We'll give you their name as soon as they start paying us.
Yeah. A ton of pizza.
And it was actually a kind of a nostalgic place. It was a place that me and James actually ate years and years ago when we experienced a little bit of urban survival living in my Ford Escort.
Right. That was one of the buffets we hit all the time when we were homeless.
It was a lot cheaper back then, too. A couple of dollars cheaper, I'd say.
It was like $5, I think, even for a buffet and a drink.
No, back then I think it was like $3.99, believe it or not.
Well, I mean, with a drink, though. You just get water.
Yeah. But still, I mean, yeah, but these days it's a couple dollars more than it was back then.
Yeah, it was
then.
Like seven something.
But I mean,
now.
It's all you can eat pizza and pasta and various different types of pizza. Right. I mean, and me and you both got like 2-3 plates just full of stuff. I mean, crammed. I mean, his plates were 6 inches off the plate.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't play around on cheat day.
No, I mean, and besides the pizza, which I know you enjoyed, I mean, I haven't seen you put that many carbs away in, good God, a month of Sundays. Currently, sitting on the bed here in the pod cave is a box of Thin Mints, courtesy of the Girl Scouts of America, and an empty box of purple marshmallow chickpeas, James's favorite junk food. What else you got in here? Some Butterfinger stuff, Snickers, some kind of turtles,
a Well Food Co. chocolate cookie,
Paleo cookie, Well Food Company. Oh, and a bag full of
crunchy tacos from Taco Bell.
Yes. Who's still willing to pay us for that endorsement? So, I mean, and this is just, I mean, this is just for today. You wake up in the morning, you're going to go right back on it.
Right, and this started in the afternoon. I woke up this morning. I had a couple cups of coffee, heavy cream, like normal. I had my breakfast, bacon, eggs, kale, red cabbage.
You know, I've never had kale. How is kale?
Kale's tasty. Especially when you fry it in bacon fat.
Mm-hmm. Well, everything's better when fried in
right.
bacon
so,
fat.
So I had my normal breakfast. I went to the gym. I worked out. Before I ate the pizza, I did some air squats in the bathroom at the pizza restaurant. And
wait, you did air squats in the bathroom at the pizza restaurant?
40 air squats.
That's what took you so long in the bathroom.
Yeah, I was air squatting.
You were air squatting in what is essentially a public restroom.
It's a key. I follow.
Please tell me you were alone in there.
Not all the time. No, I was in a stall.
You were in the big.
I was in the handicap stall.
You were in the cripple stool. Doing air squats. That's insult to injury, man. That's just a slap in the face of every slob that rolls in there in a wheelchair in there doing squat. You were probably holding on to the handrail. You sick, twisted freak.
No.
Oh, my God.
And I also
You're not supposed to do air squats. Stuff can get on the ceiling that way.
No.
Oh, like a hippopotamus.
And then I also had some grapefruit juice because it has a insulin blunting.
Insulin blunting? I've never heard the term insulin blunting.
It prevents insulin spikes. The grapefruit juice sort of deadlines your insulin so it doesn't spike while you're eating all these carby, sugary, bad foods.
If you say so.
A good side effect of this, though, is I want the flavor of the carbs, and I kind of want some of the glucose in the carbs to be transported to my muscles, but I don't want any of the carbs.
Why would your muscles care what flavor things were?
Glucose. They want glucose into the muscle cells.
Oh, okay.
So I want that, but I don't want any of the carbs and fat to be stored as fat. And if you do the protocol right, most of the food passes through you. And I do mean passes right through you.
So
I had to make 2 pit stops at bathrooms on the way home from the restaurant.
Oh, what a relief it is.
Yeah.
All right. And moving on from that brown river you were just discussing, it's time to move on to our final sponsor out of the day. Let's talk about the folks at Black River.
Black River Outpost. These guys are turned on to me by some friends I have up in Michigan, Crooked Tree Farm guys. They have all your prepper and tactical needs. Everything from Magpul mags to storage food. They have everything at Black River Outpost. Family owned and operated by some good guys up there. So go give them a check out.
Alrighty then. Now it's time to move on to Mike's movie pick of the week. And I'm actually cheating a little bit this week. It's not technically a movie. It was a 3-part documentary-style miniseries called Alone in the Wild. It was about this fellow whose name completely escapes me. This aired on, I believe, the Discovery Channel. He decides to do an experiment. He wants to survive in the wilderness for 90 days. He goes in with, like, some rice and some oats and stuff like that and a bunch of gear. I mean, he goes in with a gun and a tent and a hammock and, like, one of those electric bear fences and everything. And I truly, utterly recommend this series to anybody out there because, frankly, it gives you all. I mean, it gives you, A, the survival experience. And when I say survival, I mean barely. This dude, with all of his crap, almost died out there. I mean, it was supposed to be a 90-day experiment, and spoilers, it lasted 50 before he had to hit the radio beacon to get the people to come and rescue. And even before that, he had to hit it so they'd bring him more oats. I mean, by the end of this, dude, he was talking to a dead elk skull. Oh my God. He had a name for it and everything. He'd lost a crap load of weight. The ironic part is, the place he starts at, he starts by this place with the lake and everything. and shoots a porcupine on his first day. Which, I mean, any hunter worth his weight, don't even go after porcupine, because they're just too easy to kill. They'll hang out in stationary in trees, or they'll just waddle along the ground at, like, half the speed of smell. I mean,
wow, porcupine is.
I mean, to quote Kill Bill, you could perform the coup de grace with a rock on a porcupine. Dude seemed to like the liver. He said that was the tastiest part of it. And I've heard mixed reviews. I've heard people swear by porcupine meat, and I've heard people swear at porcupine meat. I guess it's just a preference thing, but I mean, it'll keep you alive. Other screwed up thing about it, he had all these constraints. The area he was surviving in, he was not allowed to kill any large like game animals, like deer, ducks, anything, because they were technically out of season when he was doing this. Now, he decides, in the spirit of the whole thing, to pack everything up and move to a different location. This is a rough two-day hike to get there. Went through hell getting there, and he moved to a location that he thought was going to be better, and this location is what ended up damn near killing him. He started losing weight rapidly. The best part, there's this one part in this where he has been fishing all day. I mean, there's a lot of scenes of him, like, foraging through, like, the greens, the wild edibles, and just stuffing his mouth because he's just starving. And at one point, he holds up these two, I mean, they look like minnows, the kind of minnows you'd get to catch other fish with. These things were an inch, maybe 2 inches long. He just holds them up to the camera, gives you this deadpan look, and says, "This is my dinner." And, I mean, you just want to feel sorry for him. And then you just bust out laughing, and it's the most hilarious. I mean, he spends a good portion of this thing crying toward the end. I mean, crying at the camera. If you're going to cry, turn the camera off. But that miniseries is called Alone in the Wild. I don't know where you can find it, but you have to. That is my survival pick of the week.
I have not seen that. I did hear about it before and during filming, while I was on some survival boards, Zombie Squad forums and some other ones. I remember them whining and bitching about him for... He's just on camera crying about missing his girlfriend and just his mental stamina being crap.
Wait, are we talking about the same guy that I was just talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know his name by any chance?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
Sissy Boy.
I'm actually having our producer look his name up real quick. Sissy Boy. I'm sure it wasn't... I think he was a British chap.
Was it?
I think so. I'm pretty sure I remember him having an accent. Of course, then again, my mind could just be adding that in.
Yeah. Oh, but anyway.
Any luck on that producer? Ah, okay.
If you IMDb it, you'll figure out who it is.
Okay. And now I would like, this is one of our more serious and important segments of the week. This is my celebrity survivalist invite of the week. This week's invite goes out to a guy that he was really there for me. He was my rock. He was my shoulder to cry on. One Mr. Les Stroud, the star behind Survivor Man, one of my favorites. And I am formally inviting you. Open door invitation. Please come on our show anytime you want. Just drop on by the Podcave. That goes out to Les Stroud. And I think it's about time we start wrapping things up, don't you?
Absolutely.
Alrighty. Just want to give a couple more shout-outs here to our friends at Black River, our friends with the Survival Gear Bags, and to JM Bullion. Just go on survivalpunk.com, find their banners. Well, it's been a great podcast, and for this week, I'm Mike.
I'm James.
And just remember, do something. Either lead, follow, or get out of the way.